Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, unto you and you. So once again,
welcome each and every one of you. And right now, I want to just send out condolences. All of you that has lost loved ones, may it be your spouse, may it be your care provider, may it be your orthodontic, may it be a best friend, may it be one of the individuals that attend your church. May it be an aunt or uncle, or grandparents, niece or nephew. I want to send condolences out to you and your family. And I want you to know that in spite of what you're going through at this time, at this moment, at this hour, at this minute, at this second, that you are not alone. You might say, Overseer Ward, I am alone. But I want to speak to you in the spiritual realm. You are bodily alone. But on the spiritual realm, you're not alone, because God said that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But I will be with you till the end of the earth. So I want you to know, my sister and my brother, that you're not alone. You have prayer warriors like myself, many others around the universal that are praying for the whole world as a whole. They're not praying, you know, picking out, selecting who to pray for, but they're asking God to just touch the whole universal, because we know that the heavens and the earth is God's footstool. So we belong to God. Everything in this earth belongs to God. God have made us stewards over what he has made us steward over. But when it comes to who owns who and what, God owns everything. Over the heavens, beneath the heavens, over the earth, beneath the earth, every living soul belongs to God. Every soul that has went in entombment belongs to God. So I want you to know that you are not alone on this morning, but that you have prayer warriors that's praying with you. When you weep, we are weeping with you. When you're happy, we are happy and elated in the joy that God has presented unto your life. So I want you to remain encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be moving right along, because we know that time is of an essence. And we're going to ask you right now to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. And each time that we approach this podium, each time that we come across these airways and skyways, we fail not to acknowledge our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. So we want to always reference God and acknowledge him in every single iota thing that we do in our life, in our existence here and now. We want to reference God, because he is the reason for the season. He is the reason that I come before you on tonight. So asking you to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, you said in your word that when you went away, God, you went to prepare a place for us. Upon your return, God, upon that great and historical day, you will crack those clouds and all of your glory and all of your beautiful, all of your beauty. Hallelujah, God. You say you're coming out the church without spot or wrinkle. You said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed, God. But until that historical time is upon us, we will continue, God, to mount up like wings of an eagle, God, coming from the four winds, the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this bad land. Asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Enable me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may then again may not know of you, the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, words of encouragement and words of wisdom. Each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the people of God, hallelujah, say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So without any further ado, we're going to take you on into a live program that's already in service. Hallelujah. So we're going to ask you to turn your digital devices and your hardback and softback Bibles to the Epistle Book of 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And this is what it reads. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And so our sermon on this morning entitled, Perfecting Holiness. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time. Our sermon on this morning entitled, Perfecting Holiness. And we know that when we was in the world that we did a lot of worldly things. We did everything that we was big enough and bad enough to do. But you know, when we got tired of being in the world, we got tired of working for Satan and being his little imps, we decided that we wanted to turn over a new leaf and we wanted to live for God. And so when we turned over that new leaf, that means that the things that we used to do when we was in the world, we don't do when we're over in God. So over in holiness. So the places that we used to go, you know, the honky-tonk and the Jew joints and Lover's Lane and all of those, the topless bars, bottomless bars, we don't go to those places anymore because there has been a change in our lives. And you know, when God changes us, he do not have changed you and I. But God does a 360-degree cleanse of our heart, our mind, and our soul. God give us a new way of thinking, a new way of wearing our apparel. God changes us through and through. He give us a new vocabulary. So if you was a cussing person, you know, maybe you was just cussing everything that come out your mouth, God give you a new vocabulary. So that means that God has changed you and I and us through and through from head to toe. We look the same, but our demeanor has changed. And so, you know, we find out in this day and time that we're living in that people don't want to tell you the truth. People want to pat you on the back and tell you to do the best you can and can your best. But I'm here to tell you on this morning that you are not going to make it into the heavenly gates on doing your best, the best that you can. But you got to live this thing out called holiness. God is not accepting anything less than holiness. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So that means that we have to live holy, not say that we want error, we want sin. Because if you think something negative of somebody, that is a sin already. But I'm saying that if you keep your mind stayed on God, God said, he that keep his mind stayed on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. And the only way that you're going to have a cleansed heart, a mind, and a soul is to live holy, is to read God's word, not only on Sunday or Saturday night when you get ready to go into preach a sermon on Sunday morning. But this is Monday through Sunday. You got to pray and keep your face in God's presence. Not saying that you can't get up and do your daily tasks, do leisure things, but keep God in view. Keep God first and foremost in your life. You got to pray. Not just read the word, but you got to pray. And tell God to guide you, guide your mind, guide your soul, your spirit. Hallelujah. Because we have too many ministers saying that they're holy, saying that they're sanctified, and they're lusting after these women, lusting after these men. I'm here to tell you today, you got it twisted. Because if you're holy, you're going to live holy. You're not going to be lusting and looking at somebody else when God has given you your wife, your husband. You ought to love the one that you with. And those of you that had your wife before you knew God, guess what? You are stuck like Chuck. You pray that if that wife or that husband of yours do not know God, pray that they will get to know God. You can be the example in their life. But the world, excuse me, the world is going to turn a deaf ear on you when they see that the church is doing absolutely the same identical thing that the world is doing. How is they going to trust your word and trust you to be telling them the truth, to be leading you into all truth? Because a lot of us are leading people to straight on to hell, and God is going to get you. I'm here to tell you, God is going to get you for not telling the people what he have told you to tell them. You so scared they're not going to pass the church bucket around. You so scared that they're not going to give in the offering. You so scared they're not going to give the tithes. You so scared that they're going to move their membership. But guess what? All those members that you have, that handful that you have, that two or three that you have, you may not have any. But whatever the case might be, God sent you that 1,000, that 10,000, that 15,000, that 75,000, that 100,000, that two, that three, that faithful few. God sent you, sent those people to you. And you sworn an oath, a covenant before God, that you would tell the goodness of Jesus Christ. You would tell the gospel of Christ. You would go to all the world and preach his gospel, not your gospel. I am not supposed to preach Overseer Ward's gospel, but I am to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have sworn an oath, a covenant before God, that you would preach the word of God. I don't care if mama don't like it. I don't care if father don't like it. I don't care if your siblings don't like it. I don't care if your sons and daughters don't like it. I don't care if Cousin Sue don't like it. I don't care if Uncle Tom don't like it. You got to tell the truth. You got to tell the goodness of Jesus Christ. You got to tell the gospel of Christ. It's wholeness or hell, your bottom line. It's wholeness or hell, nothing less. Because your money's not going to do you any good when your feet hit hell, that bottomless pit. God said it's bottomless because it do not have an end. So that means that when you go to hell, you will just be going tumbling and tumbling and tumbling, but you will not get to a bottom. You will just keep on tumbling over and over and over and over. God says, in that flame of fire and brimstone, God even said that there will be gashing of teeth. So it behooves you, my sister and my brother, to tell the goodness of Jesus. Because all that you have is because of God. And just like you have it, God can take it away. just in a, just in a whisper, in a second, in a moment. It says, now you got it, now you don't. You see people that have had all of their memorabilia, they had all of their houses, their wealth, to a storm, a tornado, a calamity, come and beat down on that house and beat it to a puff because that house was not built on a solid, foundation. So you got to tell the people that it's wholeness or hell, or get out the pulpit. If you're not going to preach Jesus, then get out the pulpit and sit down somewhere. Because there's no need of you leading people to hell on that jet line to hell. You just might well sit down or go back out there in the world and do what you do. Maybe the world will accept you back. If you're not going to preach Jesus, then get out the pulpit. Quit stunting. Quit testifying and testifying and testifying. You sat there, you lust after these women, you lust after these young ladies, and if you keep in your mind stayed on Jesus, you don't have no mind to be lusting after nobody. You done seen a naked woman before. If you seen your wife, she ought to be attractive to you. You seen a naked woman before if you seen it in a magazine. You seen a naked woman, so that shouldn't thrill you. That shouldn't turn you on. Anybody going to turn you on should be your husband turning you on. Should be your wife turning you on. If you're going to squeeze on somebody, squeeze on your wife. Squeeze on your husband, the one that God gave you or the one that you gave yourself. But it's just appalling of us saying that we're ministers of God. And we're doing everything just like the world is doing. We're saying everything the world is saying. We're living just like the world is living. But yet we say we are saved and sanctified. But I'm here to tell you that you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Because when God changed you, he changed you through and through. You don't lust after nobody. Your desires is your wife. Your desires is your husband. And those of you that do not have a husband, if you got your eyes on some man or some woman in the church, maybe y'all deep, you pray that God will give you the desires of your heart, give you a loving husband, a godly man, a godly wife, that they will stay committed to God and not go back out into the world. Because it's too late in the game for us to have one foot in the church house and one foot in the world. God said you cannot be lukewarm because he's going to spit you out. So you got to be hot if you're going to be in God. You got to tell it like God said tell it. You can't sugarcoat it just to keep these members because people are going to leave. If you're telling them the truth or if you're telling them a lie, they're going to get sick and tired of you telling them that lie. But they can admire you for telling them the truth. They can appreciate you for telling them the truth, even if the truth hurt, because the truth will hurt, but the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. It's time out for playing with God. God is nothing to play with. God will kill you dead. God is nothing to play with. I don't care what you're helping, what organization you're helping. I don't care how many old folks' home that you've built. I don't care how much money you've given to your community. That don't mean anything with God. But what God is concerned about is these souls. God has sent you out to compel men and women to turn to Christ. Not you out there lusting after somebody's husband and somebody's wife. Because that is not of God. And I'm saying this because I love you. Just like God would tell us When we get out of line, God will chastise us as his children. And this is one minister to another. Seek God in all his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that throughout the ages, hallelujah, Jesus, bless your holy name. Holiness has been one of the marks of the church. And you can note the word from the Apostle Creed. I believe in the Holy Universal Church, living in a society that emphasizes the welfare of the individual at the expense of the common good. We often lose sight of the fact that we are called not just to live as holy individuals, but also to live as a holy community, centered in God's presence, a community that, hallelujah, manifests his truth and action in this world. We know that an overemphasis on personal holiness without consideration of our life in communities is a corruption of the Christian faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that holy living is more than following rules. We know that in Jesus Christ we have been set free from the law. We have been taught by God to let love be our rule. We know that the early Christian experience is a pervading sense of the presence of a God who chose them and cared for them, both as individual and as a community. We know that the Thessalonians were challenged in three important areas. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that are expressed in community life, human sexuality, public life, home, work, school, our church, and private life. We know that even in small groups, Paul instructed them in these, hallelujah, areas. He urged them to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. What we desperately need today, excuse me, hallelujah, what we desperately need today is to recapture a sense of our communities, life as the expression of holy living. Holy living began, hallelujah, Jesus, with the desire to be used by God. And that's what we said when we stood and we had our hand on the Bible and we had one hand up toward heaven. And we said to God that if God, hallelujah, would equip us and send us out to deliver his message, that we would preach his word. We would tell of his goodness, hallelujah, and that we would minister the divine word of God in the preaching and the teaching and the caring and the sharing of God's saving love in the communities of which we are all a part. Then our daily living becomes a witness, the incarnate word, and we are empowered to influence others. In living for God, the one of apostolic and holy universal, we know that Christian communities in every place is liberated to hear what the Spirit is saying and to go where the Spirit is leading. Community life, as sculptured by God, is indeed an expression of holy living. And so we know that when we told God that, Father God, wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to say, I'll say. Whatever you instruct me to do, I'll do. So we know that with that said, we have to tell the righteousness living of Jesus Christ. We got to live it, not only just preach it, but we got to live it, because the world is watching, you and I and us. They will not believe you and I and us if we're living just like they're living, if we're dancing to the same beat that they're listening to, and we're telling the same lies that's being heard out in the world. They will not listen to you and I and us. But if you come straight across, said holiness is for me and my house, it's for everybody that accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. It say it's for you and your children. Hallelujah. So we got to live this thing out. And if you have a demon that calls you to lust after somebody, may it be male or female, I want you to get down on your knees and ask God, say, God, say, anything that's not like you, I want you to take it out. I want you to remove it, that lustful demon that's trying to creep back into my spirit. I command it to flee. And with God's help, God can remove that spiritual demon. Because, see, that's a spiritual demon that's locked inside of your spirit. And it's because you're not fasting and praying and seeking God that that demon will creep in. See, the devil likes to creep in. He don't knock and let you know that he's coming, but he creeps. He creeps in. He come in every crack and every crevice of our heart, our mind, and our soul. But if you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, he said those that keep your mind, he didn't say keep your mind on Tyrone. He didn't say keep your mind on Miss Jones. But he said, those that keep thy mind stayed on me, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, he will keep you and I in perfect peace. I don't care how many women is standing before you with a miniskirt on. You will not flinch if you got your mind grounded in Jesus. A woman can come before you nude and naked, but if you got your mind stayed on God, you won't twist. A man can strip out his clothes and be nude as he was when he first come out of his mother's womb, but you will not flinch. Why? Because you are grounded in Jesus. Your mind is on holy thoughts. Not on lustful thoughts, but your mind is on heavenly thoughts, because you are anchored in Jesus. You are anchored in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And that scriptural reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, I hadn't worked in my yard for several weeks, and I was amazed at how quickly weeds had sprung up and taken over. We know that weeds, they don't need tending. They seem to love to sprout up for anyone who just let things go. We know that a bed of beautiful flowers, however, takes watering, feeding, and of course, weeding. Flowers thrive under care one who is not afraid to get dirt under their fingernails. But we know that the Christian life takes work too. It requires the commitment of one's whole being to Jesus, body, mind, and emotions, and will to have a life that is wholesome, attractive, uplifting to others, fulfilling to oneself. Even then, weeds of selfishness and sinful attitudes can quickly spring up and overrun the fruit of the Spirit. And that scripture reading is coming out of law. Galatians 5:22-23. And that was the problem with many believers at Corinth. They had become overgrown with envy and divisiveness. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says that so Paul told them to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We know that holiness, he didn't mean they could be sinless, but blameless. Lord, help us to uproot any weeds of flesh and the spirit before they become ugly habits. May the beauty of Jesus' character be what others see in you and I and us. Hallelujah. Identify sin of the flesh or the spirit. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. Galatians 5:17-21. Call them sin and confess them. That scripture reading can be found in the law of 1 John 1:9. Stand firm in your position in Christ. That scripture reading can be found in the epistle book of Galatians 2:20. So if you yield to God, you won't give in to sin. I want to say that one more time. If you yield to God, you won't give in to sin. So our sermon on tonight has been perfecting holiness. Our key scripture coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So if you're truly in God and grounded in God, you won't be lusting after nobody else's girl, somebody else's woman, but you will be an eye for your own wife that God has blessed you with, or that you have blessed yourself with. Some of you might got married when you was in the world. So that wife or husband that you have, be in love, be enthused with that husband, be enthused with that wife, be romantically inclined with that wife, that husband that God has given unto your bosom. And don't be lusting and feeling on something that do not belong to you, because you are total out of character. You're total out of line. And ask God forgiveness. And ask God to cleanse your mind that's contaminated with anything that's not like God. Take it out and renew you a clean spirit and a clean heart. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. Send your correspondence to, hallelujah, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, because he is people-friendly. I'm asking you to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now open up the dollar prayer request line. Those of you that have a prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree, that God will bring your prayer petition to its fruition. Now is the time to call in. And that number in which to call in is 646-230-74. 646-230-74. And we're going to turn you now over to the second phase of our program, and that is the Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. And that is to just encourage your mind and your heart and uplift your spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. And till we meet again across these airways and skyways, I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. So up next is the Hymns of Zion. We're going to present unto you Aretha Franklin. Hallelujah. Hope you enjoy the program.
Take care. Man,
oh, Mary, come to me.
when you're down in trouble. You need some love and care.
Yeah. Of a land Just gonna live on and on and on. will grow. He was a father. Most of all, can see Jesus.
I'm so
thank you.